Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. Thomas Nelson is the publisher of Believing Jesus by Lisa Harper. Lisa's a great author. She's earned the reputation as a seminary-trained scholar. She's a hilarious storyteller, and who doesn't want to laugh? Her book, Believing Jesus, will highlight both of her strengths as a seminary scholar and, of course, as someone who's going to make you laugh. She expounds on this epic and exciting New Testament book with theological depth and comedic wit. She keeps it real with plenty of self-deprecating anecdotes, and more importantly, she consistently points readers back to the perfect love and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. This book is available wherever books are sold, or you can visit her website at believingjesusbook.com. Here it is again, believingjesusbook.com. And thanks to Thomas Nelson for sponsoring this podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. Today I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I have the privilege of talking to and interviewing a longtime friend of mine, Rick Bezette, who is a well-known pastor from New Life Church of Arkansas. Now, I used to think of your church as being from Conway, because that's where it started in 2001, but I guess you're all over the state now, so I guess I should start by saying welcome and tell us about what's happened to New Life Church.
Thanks, Steve. Good to see you again, and we should play racquetball again sometime. You're really good at it, but we're doing good here in Arkansas, man. Our church is growing, and we started with one campus 14 years ago, and now we have 10. Our vision is to have 50 statewide and have a real burden for the state, and we call it the Arkansas God Sees, hashtag the Arkansas God Sees. And so we do not pick the next city we're going to. We pick the next pastor, and they pick the next city, because we believe that God chooses people to live in certain places at certain times. And, man, when we find that family, we're proud to put them there, and it's going really well. I love this state. God gave me a supernatural love for this place.
Well, you mentioned racquetball, which gives a hint that we actually know each other as friends, mainly through our mutual friend Scott Plakin. That's right. And, you know, you're too nice about my racquetball game. I remembered I played an hour and was ready to quit, and you wanted to keep going a couple more hours. You're a beast on the racquetball court. And, you know, back in that era when I first got to know you, you hadn't yet started this church, and you were trying to decide exactly where to plant a church. And then to watch you affiliate with the Association of Related Churches, and I think, wasn't your church one of the first churches that was planted?
Yeah, it was, with the Ark. Yeah, Chris Hodges planted in Birmingham at 10 a.m. on February the 4th, 2001. And we started at 9:59, so I beat him by a minute. No, I'm kidding about that. We both started, and his church is a phenomenal church in Alabama, and we're here in Arkansas.
Yeah, his church is Church of the Highlands. I was able to visit it one time when I went to see your friend and mentor, Billy Hornsby.
That's right.
And it's just a great church. And, to think of two great churches starting from scratch on the same day and not only succeeding, but inspiring so many other churches. And also, weren't both of your churches the fastest growing? I think there was some magazine that designated you guys the fastest growing churches for a couple of years.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. One year, I don't remember the exact year, maybe 2009 or 10, Church of the Highlands was the fastest growing church in America, based on this sophisticated study that some have done. And then the next year, we were the church. So very interesting. Chris and I started with a covenant relationship. We said, if his church fails, I'll hire him. And if our church fails, he'll hire me. And that deal is still on the table. So we've had some good years, but you never know, man. You got to have friends that can pick you up when you fall.
That's right. And let's talk about churches that are bucking the trends, because if you read the popular press, you'll hear that fewer people are going to church, more people are atheists than there used to be. The atheists, of course, are more aggressive maybe than they've been, at least in my memory. Yet people are packing into both of your churches, and also the other churches of the Ark, and also, truthfully, other churches are growing as well. Why do you think some churches are growing and some churches are dwindling?
You know, it's interesting. We are all studying that. But every mainline denomination in America right now is in decline. There may be an exception that I don't know about, but the last time I studied it, that stat is true. However, that's the bad news. The good news is, in every mainline denomination that is Christ-centered, they also have new emerging churches that are influencing their cities. They're growing at a fast rate. So yeah, a lot of people are running away from church. 30 million people in America used to be in church, and they're no longer in church. But I have found that this new style of church, if you want to use that term, I don't like it, but it is a church that gets it, like Jesus got it. He got the people that are around him, that were around him. He was very comfortable in talking to them about the Word of God. And these churches are growing, and they're bringing in their friends. And every weekend, you can tell, even that stat alone, I find that very interesting, that the average church in America, they have a visitor, the family that attends that church, this particular family, they will bring in a friend once every 18 months to the average church in America. But in these fast-growing churches, it is one family coming with them to church every 60 days, every 60 to 75 days. So that right there may be the biggest reason why churches are growing. It's when the people are saying, I've got to bring someone that doesn't know Christ, that is not in a church, that is broken down, because if I can bring them here, they're going to get set free, and I'm going to enjoy my faith more than ever.
Well, a minute ago you used the term churches that get it. And I'm guessing that the churches that get it, there's a reason why people are bringing their friends. So tell me what getting it means. Why don't you define that for my listeners?
Well, to carry out that original stat, the 30 million people that used to go to church that are no longer going to church, we already know exactly why they're not going. Barna did a study on this. I think every pastor needs to know this study. Every Christian should pay attention. I see if I can remember them. One of them, they don't go to church, they said, because their kids don't want to go. Kids right now are ruling the universe. They're making decisions on what people eat, where they go on vacation, where they're going to live, and they certainly pick the church. If you bring a child into a church service and they go into a children's ministry, afterwards when you get in a car, the parents are going to say, did you like it? If they say, I hated it, they're probably not coming back. But you can flip it. The parents can love the church, and they can go in there, they can hate the church, and they can get in the car and ask their child if they liked it. And their kid, if they say, yes, I loved it, and then the next question is, what did you learn? If they ace that answer, even if the parents hate the church, they're coming back. So children, you've got to reach the kids. Another reason why people say they're not going to church is because of the music. They don't like the music. A lot of times pastors decide what the sound is going to be like in their church. But how about the sons of Issachar? They had the sound of their generation. They got it. And I think the churches need to pay attention to the sound of people that are not in. And then thirdly, the church just wants my money. They don't want to go because it seems like the church just wants what they have. A deeper look at that is the people are saying they don't want me. They just want what I have for them. And a church has to be able to change that. We want the people. It's the people. And then another reason they say that they're not going to church is because the sermons are not relevant to the real world that I live in. Well, it takes time to build a sermon that is related to a business person, a busy person. You have to put some study in that. But if you can figure out how to have a sermon that people want to bring to their place of employment and share the notes and even build business strategies around it if they're a business person, then that's a sermon they're going to show up at church to hear that word. And then the last reason that people said that they're not in church is because the people that are there are weird or mean or judgmental, or they, in a deeper look, it said that they're not like me. So just think about it. If you had a church where the people were kind and they were there, instead of the old church that my mom went to where everybody sat in a certain seat, and if you dared to try to sit in that seat, it was a bad day. Or greeters at the door who are depressed, who really don't even want to be there, versus somebody who's full of life. Parking lot attendants who are glad that you're there, and you really have, you know, in the world is customer service. But as a Christian, it's Christianity. And Jesus was amazing at receiving people who were lost. And the church doesn't ace that. So I believe that's a pretty good glance into why some churches are growing and some are not.
Well, that's a great answer, but I want to drill down on one of the things you said in particular about the business strategies. Give me an example of something that you put into a sermon that you got feedback that somebody took it to work and put it in, you know, however it was that you worded it just now.
Well, I remember once recently I was talking about five levels of leadership, that the worst level of leader. You'd never want a boss that works for you who is a rights leader, somebody who just wants to talk about, they're the leader, I'm the leader, I'm the leader around here, I'm your boss, do what I say. I call that a rights leader. Sometimes a husband tries to lead his family that way. I'm the husband around here, submit to me. And he's never going to have success with that type of a leader. So the next one sounds more attractive, but it's not necessarily that much better, but it's a relationship. So it's a person who has a right to lead you, but now they're in relationship with you. Now we're getting better. But that's still just a person who's just friends with you, and now they have a right to lead you. But the third level is when it really starts changing, and that is they're getting results. In other words, because that person is a leader, because they're your boss, now the business is doing better. Now the family is better. Now the church is better. This person is having more results than anyone else. So now the relationship is thicker, and now you're bragging that they have a right to lead you. The fourth level of leadership is respect. Now this person who's leading you have more respect for them. In fact, if you were to ask them offline, who do you respect the most, they're going to quickly say, this leader. And my goodness, at that point, think of the results. Then think of the relationship. And now you're bragging about the covenant right they have to lead you. And then the fifth one, which is a lot of people never get to this, and that's a reproductive leader. A leader who doesn't just look for somebody who can lead, but they're looking for people who can lead, who can find others who can lead, who can find others who can lead. Once a business or a family or a church gets to a place where they're reproducing themselves with or without the original leader, then the respect is out of control. The results can't even be measured. Then the relationships are Christ-like. And then the rights, you just don't have to be a narcissist in that world. It's all about the body of Christ. And I think that's a strong church.
My final question has to do with your church and the structure. And I know you well enough to know that you don't like to quote statistics. But let's just say your church is huge and you've got several campuses. So describe that and describe the dynamic, especially how you keep them all on the same page, but let the different pastors preach the same series and why you think that works.
Well, thanks for asking about our campuses. You know, we have a vision to have 50 campuses in the state of Arkansas, and we are certainly not there. We have 10 now, so we're moving that way. A year ago, we had 7, and a little over a year ago, and now we have 10, So we're moving forward. But some of these pastors, because a campus church means a lot of different things. And we really evaluate and profile the leaders that God has given us when they go to a city. Like, what are they good at? What are they not good at? And we try to give them a strong team. For example, if they are good at leading, then we're going to let them lead. But if they're also good at speaking, if they can preach, and I'm not going to take that gift away from them. Now, keep in mind, we're a relational church, so they have to be close to us. We spend a lot of time with them. We're friends. We are lifelong friends. That's why we don't have much of a turnover in our church. In fact, the only staff people that have really left our church through the 14 years have been people that have fallen away from the Lord. There's been a few of those, but most of the people are with us for life. So we pick people we're in covenant relationship with, and if they can preach, this is how it goes. This is a little bit wordy and quick, but I'll tell you. On Thursdays, I send the sermons to them, and they start preparing. These are the pastors that are campus pastors that can preach. They start preparing the same sermon that I've written, but they make it their own with scriptures and stories and illustrations. So they're praying about it, and they're trying to stay in the same series that we are in as a church. Friday, they're still working on it, and Saturday, they work on it. Saturday night, they watch me speak live in a private link where they get to see the tone of the sermon or the, you know, where God is anointing a sermon. It's a lot of sermon talk, but they basically decide, you know, they get to hear me speak. And then when it's done, it wouldn't be uncommon for me to send a video clip from that sermon that I pick that is in the same sermon that they're going to preach. So it could be just a 5-minute clip. It could be a 3-minute clip. This Sunday, it was a 10-minute clip for Father's Day. So while they're speaking along, when they get to the part that I've chosen, which is usually a pastoral moment or something really deep that God did or a powerful moment in church, or it might be vision that is being shared. When they get to that part, they say, Rick was talking about this last night. Let's check it out. And then interactively, I'm on the video with them and I get to speak, and then they close out the sermon. And so there's a live speaker there instead of a video. We do have some video campuses and they grow just the same. But my goodness, if somebody can speak, why should that church have to listen to me on a video when a man with the Bible in his hand can do it? So that's really been a win for us.
Thank you for your insights and congratulations on what's happening here in Arkansas. And I believe a lot of people were inspired by what you just said. So thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.